Pacifico, Modern Puff, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I've just seen confirmation in the news. Of something I must have mentioned to you. It's about 3 weeks old, 2 weeks old, the information that I had. I must have mentioned it to you because I got it straight from the horse's mouth, and I say that with all due respect, not the horse, but I got it straight from guys that ought to know. And I've just seen, at least in print, and I shouldn't say it's confirmation. Well, it is. This says that there is confirmation. I'm going to tell you, and I must have mentioned this on the air. Did I mention it?
I don't remember at all.
Well, we were talking about the... Don't say anything.
Phil, I don't remember the specifics of this, no.
I must have said something. I might have said it on the pre-show feed. I must have said something to the Phil TV and HD subscribers. Anyway, welcome to our world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch the show as well as listen to us. You can watch us, and you can also listen to the podcast and listen to thousands of hours of downloadable shows at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Become a Backstage Pass member. And for the first time in your life, subscribe to something where you get your money's worth. All right. What else? We have a free podcast dropping tomorrow, as we like to say, in showbiz and in the recording industry. It drops tomorrow, episode 44 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. Go to our website, hit the podcast banner, and enjoy. And it's episode number 44. We're now going to be upping our podcast output to 4 a week. Another program or website note, the Milwaukee Lions will be taking on the San Antonio Range Riders. However, that game is blacked out. Am I right about that, bud?
Yeah, that game's blacked out. We're going to have the game of the week.
Yeah, who is it? It's Portland versus Tucson will be the game of the week with Ned Garline and Larry McKinney. And we're going to have Larry McKinney on with us in a few minutes to talk with us about the league and about the games. And a lot of you guys are probably wondering, what is this Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference? It's a new professional football league that is in some select Phil Hendry cities. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So, a couple of weeks ago, and now you remember, Margaret?
I remember you talking to your neighbor.
A couple of weeks ago, I walk out to the front of my house, and my neighbor across the street is a commercial fisherman. Naturally, if you live close to the swirling, roiling surf of the Pacific, you will encounter a great many people who make their living from the sea. You know, that marvelous down to the sea and ships or whoever the hell that is.
What?
It's some poetry.
All right, well, let's not get sidetracked because you're misquoting it. Down to the sea and ships is a poem. All right.
Okay. I don't want to get into it. I was trying to be poetic.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, fine, Margaret. In any event, a lot of the people that I live around, some of them are military, some are Navy guys.
They're probably millionaires, too.
Maybe they're millionaires, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's right. I live around millionaire fishermen. Has anybody ever met one of those?
No, what do you mean?
Have you ever met a millionaire? I've met fishermen that live a good life, but I've never met a guy that runs a commercial fishing boat that's a millionaire.
But what about, like, the guy that owns Kiss Tuna or Kiss It Off Tuna?
Yeah, that's Kiss It Off Tuna.
No, it's not. It's Star-Kissed Tuna is what they're saying.
Yeah, no. What do you mean? What about him? What? You think that cat has a boat?
Yeah. How else he get in the tuna business?
Well, he...
Maybe he used to sell women's underwear.
Why, you filthy...
Hey, what are you doing?
How dare he say that?
I'm just kidding.
Bud, I'm going to kick your ass out of here. What a filthy thing to say.
Sorry.
Well, that's not good enough. Sorry is not good enough. I am a lady. I'm a lady. Do you see me?
Yeah.
I'm a lady.
Okay.
Oh, so you...
Hey! In any event, it's enough that I got to deal with these idiots. You putting your hands on his throat. One of these days, you're going to strangle him to death, and then we're going to have the cops here.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm not going to kill anyone.
All right, anyway, so I'm talking to a friend of mine, and this cat is a fisherman. And he says to me, I say, hey, John, how you doing? You know, you're yelling across the street, whatever. He said, I'm doing pretty good, Phil. I said, so what's up? He said, I'm going out to get a boat. All right, he said, I'm going out to get a...
going out to get a boat. He's probably needs a new boat to catch a fish.
Yeah.
Easy. He said, I'm going out to get a light for the front of my boat. I said, really? He says, yeah. Friend of mine almost ran into a bus the other day. A friend of yours almost ran into a bus. Now, get a load of this. These guys are commercial fishermen. His friend was fishing off of Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Tsunami debris.
A bus?
A bus. That's what he was claiming, a bus. Now, today, I see here in the news reporting, USA Today reports that a bin in Hawaii confirmed to be Japan's tsunami debris. Now, the stories that I'm hearing about buses and houses and stuff, first of all, one of the things you know about all rumors from the very beginning of time, all word-of-mouth stories gain in size and significance with the retelling. This is the human trait. It's a human trait for us to embellish, because when we're going to take somebody away from what it is they're doing and we're going to tell them something, we want to make damn sure we're making it worth their while.
So you're saying that people are lying?
No, I'm not saying people lie, but I am saying that people tend to exaggerate. And why do we exaggerate? Because, hey, I got a story for you. Uh-huh. Now we're looking at the guy and we're telling, and we're looking, and are we seeing any, and another thing that happened, this was really big, you know, and the next thing you know, that Goliath, who was the so-called giant that David met, is not just, you know, 6 foot five. Now he's 7 feet tall, and maybe he's 8 feet tall. Maybe he's 9 feet tall, you know. And maybe that thing they saw in the ocean that almost wrecked their boat wasn't a rogue wave, as we call them today. Some kind of a rogue wave from an earthquake that created a tidal condition. Maybe it was a sea serpent. I know. It wasn't just a sea serpent. It was something that came up. Man, I tell you, it picked the boat up and it threw it, man. It had two arms.
Yeah, that, you think that's how that stuff got going?
That sounds very plausible.
I mean, I know that's how it got going. That's what, nowadays, of course, we don't believe in sea serpents. Nowadays, we don't believe in sea dragons. So what we do is we embellish stories in a much different way that's contemporary to us. So I don't know whether when John said a friend of his almost ran into a bus, if his friend said a bus, or if his friend said something like
a Volkswagen.
Why wouldn't a Volkswagen be good enough? Why is it got to turn into a bus?
Well, yeah, Volkswagen, that's okay, but probably you'll see that.
When are you going to see a Volkswagen?
Well, you probably would see a Volkswagen sometimes.
I don't know, bud. Although there's a lot of weird stuff they find in the ocean. I mean, they're still finding, this is insane. This is completely insane. I don't know what this is, and I wish to God somebody would answer, because it's bugging me now. It's beginning to bug me. They're finding feet. I'm saying severed feet in British Columbia.
I don't understand.
They're finding, believe it or not, either the bones of feet or a foot, a person's foot. And sometimes the foot is in a sneaker, and sometimes it isn't. And they have been finding these feet at some point on the British Columbia coast for the last several years. And you can go ahead and Google it if you want. And it has stymied the authorities.
Maybe it's like medical debris or something. Like my mom worked a nurse at a hospital. They had medical debris.
What's that?
It's like stuff, body parts.
No, I think they incinerate those, don't they?
I would hope so. I mean, good Lord, are you kidding?
I don't know.
I mean, what the hell is causing feet, human feet, to wash up on the shore of British Columbia? What is that about, man? Is this a modern-day Morning of the Magicians? You know, when you hear these stories, you begin to believe books like Morning of the Magicians, which was this great book. It was a completely psycho book, and everybody in high school in the 60s read it because it had this, you know, woo, you know, crazy, transcendental, you know, metaphysical thing to it. But this cat that wrote this book, Morning of the Magicians, he basically documented all of the strange occurrences that had been recorded or had been reported down through the years, most of it in Europe, Western Europe and the like. And one of them was this rain of frogs. If you saw the movie Magnolia, remember we saw that movie?
Yeah, you mean that really happened or something?
Yeah, I read about the rain of frogs. They say that that's caused because of the water.
Well, I don't know if it ever happened at all. I mean, in the film Magnolia, there was a frog shower. And that's actually something that was reported in history. And it was in this book, Morning of the Magicians, among other places. There's also been blood a rain of what people thought was blood. Well, now they say it isn't blood. It could be rust-colored water as the result of some condition in the atmosphere. They don't know, you know. There's a great deal of volcanic activity around the globe which can cause the weather conditions to change, and it can also probably discolor rain given the amount of soot and debris in the air. But back if it's the 15th or 14th or the 11th century, all you know is, you know, and there's blood falling from the sky. Prometheus, or whatever the hell they called each other.
What's that mean, Prometheus?
That is Latin. I'm sure in the 11th century, the Roman Empire did not hold sway as it did. Their names then were most likely John the Younger or William of the Leg.
What means William of the Leg?
What's that mean?
Well, the leg, perhaps his father was a cripple, or his father had a misshapen heel. Perhaps his father walked with an exaggerated limp. And so his son, William, would be known as William of the Leg. And
well, the father's known as what?
Well, the father's known as the leg.
The father's known...
Well, I don't know, Phil. Why do you ask?
Yeah, but what bloody... Yeah, his name?
That would become his last name.
That would become eventually the last name of the family. But back then...
Yes, back then what?
Well, what's his name?
His name is the leg.
So there goes the leg, and it's a cat limping down the street. All right.
No, not a cat. Not a cat. No, a man. A human. Not a cat.
I understand. I'm...
Phil's talking about just like a guy.
I understand, bud.
All right, so anyway, there's all that. Now, we've got to take a break, man. But let me get back to the tsunami, because it's a trip and a half, and we'll read this story. The 12th confirmed piece to hit U.S. or Canadian waters. World-famous Phil Henry Show. So my fisherman friend John, man, he got a light for the front of his boat. He's going to be out, I think, through October. I don't know if they get as far afield as Hawaii, some of these guys out. I guess they do. We'll find out. When we come back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Later on, we got Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, on the uprising in Libya. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
We're talking about that.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll get into that in a minute, Margaret. I'll get into that in a minute. I'm not going to get into it right now.
Yeah, get in what?
Don't worry about it, because I don't want to get sidetracked.
All I'm saying is you're an artist, Phil. As an artist, okay, I don't understand a lot of your reactionary opinion.
There's nothing written that says an artist has to have a liberal or progressive opinion. There have been very conservative artists. I don't understand. So just hold that thought. All right, so where are we? We are off of Hawaii. A large plastic bin is the first confirmed piece of marine debris from last year's Japan tsunami to arrive in Hawaii. That's the first confirmed. Now, I just told you that my friend John's fisherman friends and colleagues, I don't know if you call a fisherman, is he a colleague?
Yeah, he'd be a colleague. That's the business.
Yeah, they probably have business meetings and stuff.
Well, why wouldn't he be a colleague? Aren't fishermen allowed to be... Oh, my God.
Yes, they're allowed to be. I mean, I don't think fishermen consider themselves to be colleagues so much as just co-fishermen, you know.
Well, I'm sure they have conventions and sit down and have meetings.
Okay, well, maybe.
Yeah, don't they probably have a seminar?
Probably got like tuna fish seminar thing you got to do.
I don't think they have seminars, but I'm sure they have round tables and multimedia.
What is this all of a sudden multimedia round table? These guys are catching tuna. You know, they're out there catching snapper.
Snapper. Ow.
Watch it, man.
Just absolute filth pours from him.
But I don't know about that one.
All right, so anyway, Japanese consular officials confirmed that the blue bin found earlier this week floating in the ocean is from Fukushima. This is according to Ben Sherman, a NOAA spokesman in Washington, D.C. Forgive me, what does that? National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And Mr. Sherman confirmed that he'd been in touch with Japanese consular officials. They said, yes, that's our bin. I don't know what kind of bin.
But it looked like a trash bin.
Yes, it does. It looks like almost like a Dipsy dumpster.
Yeah, so the Japanese went, yep, that's our trash can. Didn't know it anywhere. Please don't. Ow!
I'm going to keep on doing that, man, until you shut up.
That is extremely racist.
Why? Well, I'm just... Why?
Because, I'm Japanese, so therefore I can identify trash.
God.
No, it wasn't racist. Bud was getting off a joke, and an inappropriate joke, but nonetheless. All right. It is the 12th confirmed piece. 12th confirmed. The largest plastic... is the first confirmed piece of marine debris to arrive in Hawaii. It's the 12th confirmed piece to hit U.S. or Canadian waters. How can this... Oh, this is the first to hit Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The 12th... This nothing has hit Hawaii. That's amazing. The bin was spotted off of a beach off the coast of Oahu by Makai Ocean Engineering and was retrieved by the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory. Used for transporting seafood, the 4x4-foot cube bears the name YK Susan Company Limited, the State Department of Land and Natural Resources said. Nikotai Mamenko, a University of Hawaii researcher and ocean currents expert who was studying the trajectory of the tsunami debris, said the bin's arrival is consistent with his predictions for when the first pieces would get to Hawaii. Oh, really? Well, it's...
Oh, look at him.
Yeah. Yep. Happened right when I said. Congratulations, sir. Now, what is my friend John talking about then?
Bobby, he's talking about that the fishermen ain't around Hawaii, but they're near there.
You know, that's a very good point, because this is the first to actually enter Hawaiian water. And I don't know what you call being off of the coast of Hawaii. I guess, you know, within a reasonable limit, say 12 miles, maybe the international limit, something like that. The territorial waters that America, that we claim are three miles, I believe. But nonetheless, or maybe it's changed, but nonetheless, there's debris that it could very well have missed Hawaii and is on its way here to the West Coast. That's what John's friends were hitting.
Yeah, it's probably like bus and stuff.
Yeah, bus isn't going to go to Hawaii. I mean, not that a bus is going to, you know.
Well, how is the bus going to make that decision?
I'm not just saying a bus is too big for Hawaii.
Yeah, the waters of Hawaii can't support it.
What are you guys babbling about now?
Oh, my God.
What do you mean the waters of Hawaii can't support it?
What I'm saying is, why would a bus be at Hawaii? It'd probably be too big.
Yeah, it would go by Hawaii.
It would be too big and it would go by Hawaii. All right.
Well, no, not all right. That doesn't make any sense. Once again, these two are slipping into some sort of a... Either it is intentional or it's by mistake, but you are indeed slipping into some kind of a state of brain damage that is either willful or...
Okay, let's not get into it. What were you going to say, bud?
Well, she shouldn't say that.
Well, I said it, okay? So do you want to... Where do you want to go now? I said it. So where do you want to take it?
We're not going to take it anywhere. So it came at the right time, according to our model, he said. But in some sense, it could just be a coincidence. So maybe they consulted with Kate Moss.
Not funny.
No, not funny.
I don't get it.
It was consistent with the predictions of our model. So maybe...
Oh, a model.
Yeah. Anyway, 1 to 2 million tons of debris remain in the ocean, but only 1 to 5% of that could reach American and Canadian shorelines, according to this gentleman there from Hawaii, the University of Hawaii researcher. 1 million to 2 million tons of debris remain in the ocean. Wow.
Woo!
It's a lot of stuff.
Well, I imagine most of it has probably gone to the bottom of the ocean, don't you think?
If it's heavy enough, yeah. A lot of the metals, heavy metal. I mean, how the hell is a bus stay floating? I mean, a bus is a bus. It's a big piece of junk. Yet sooner or later, that's going to have to sink, don't you think? I don't know. Crabs and barnacles were found in the bin, the state said, along with 5 local seabirds. 2 flew away and 3 were found dead inside the bin. There was no foreign plant or animal species in or on the bin, which state officials put into quarantine.
Why'd they do that?
That's so, you know, our native, it's so that our native crops and our native animals are not infected by any kind of a disease being carried by some animal from another continent. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Larry McKinney, who's going to talk weekend football with us. And we also have Jay Santos coming up from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Before we get over to Larry McKinney, I just wanted to show to our guys that are watching Phil TV in HD. And do you see that, Margaret?
What is that? That is amazing.
That is a... Look at the size of that boat. Look at the size of that ship. There, we've got a picture on Phil TV. You're looking at that little blue thing there. That is a ship that is probably the size... Well, let's call that a commercial fishing boat. I don't know. It could be a freaking...
Could be like a big oil tanker or something.
I don't think that quite has the look of a big oil tanker. It's like a commercial boat. It's still a good-sized boat, and just surrounding it is all of this crap. All of this stuff from... Now, in December of 2011, the debris began to show up on Canada's beaches. They did not think that a lot of it would land along the Alaska coast, especially when you consider that Alaska has that coastal strip that kind of comes down the Canadian side of things. Most of Alaska is a western-pointing large peninsula, or, you know. But in any event, that was in December 2011. Now, by the month of February this year, there has been debris sighted in Midway, which is Midway Island. That's north of Hawaii. Over the last 12 months, since debris from the 2011 Japanese tsunami broke up, dispersed, and sank, scientists have lost sight of the debris. Immediately after the tsunami, satellite imagery pinpointed large fields of floating debris, but by April 14, 2011, it had dispersed to a point where it was no longer visible with low-resolution cameras. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reports the debris sightings at sea have consistently gone down to a number with a high of approximately 100 sightings to zero in 2011. Well, now you better start recalculating, guys, because they've got freaking bins, docks, buses.
What's that?
Those look like penguins or something, man.
What in the name of God is that?
Those are like, what do you mean, what in the name of God?
Well, what are they?
They're albatross. They're on Midway. This is Midway Island, okay?
That's the that's where the Japanese attacked?
Yeah, well, that was the site of the big battle in World War II. This is Midway Island. Large albatross on Midway in April. They are thriving on Midway, although the situation for the albatross is still rather precarious. And apparently it's gotten precarious because of all this stuff.
Well, I think there'd be more stuff for them to eat.
No, this is absolute pollution. It is absolute pollution. And the albatross, okay, now, you've mentioned animals that are endangered. Now you've got my interest. This is going to kill the beautiful albatross of this island that you mentioned, which is a significant island, right?
You know, Margaret.
What?
All of a sudden you're all interested in albatross, because why?
Because of the pollution. Do you know, Mr. Henry, that we still have a pollution problem?
And who are you blaming for that?
Well, I am blaming the largest polluting country in the world, the United States. And...
Come on, lady, you...
Hold on.
That's nuts!
What are you... Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I am talking to you.
Wait a minute. How do you blame the United States for the Japanese tsunami?
Phil, let's not go there. You know full well that the United States has every capability, more so than any country in the world, to get out there and to clean this sewage up, and we refuse. And meanwhile, the Japanese are drowning in garbage, just drowning in it. Those people get up in the morning, they open their mouths, and I don't know, you're going to laugh at them, but
In comes what?
A house.
Yeah, right, a house going to go in a mouth.
I'm being figurative.
You're being figured. All right, let me get to Larry McKinney from the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Conference. Larry joining us tonight online to talk with us about the online and on the air to talk with us about the season that's going on right now in the Hillbilly Football Conference. Larry, great to have you with us. We're usually talking to Joe Dickhead or one of those guys, but we're not going to ask you for any football predictions. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very good, Phil, and I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your program tonight and to talk a little bit about the Hillbilly Conference. A lot of exciting football in it.
Now, you're a former quarterback, correct?
Yes, sir. I played in the old AFL 2, and I played with the Milwaukee Lions, which is that's the team that is mostly carried on, I know, on your website.
We do. We carry the Milwaukee Lion games. Do you guys do any local games?
Yeah, we did. My partner is a guy by the name of Ned Garline, and we've done Tampa Gator Bait. We were going to do the Tampa Gator Bait, and then they picked us to do a national game, you know.
So did you do the Tampa Gator Bait games at all?
Well, we did some preseason.
And then they slotted you for the national game, huh?
Yeah, we do one game a week. We do a national game when there's blackout. And it's been a lot of fun. We enjoy it very much. I've seen an awful lot of really good football. And
Who's the two teams that are playing this weekend that you guys are going to be covering? Are those the two best teams in the league right now?
Yeah, I would say that they are. There's three teams right now that seem to have everybody talking, and they're on the West Coast. We're going to be doing a Portland-Tucson game this weekend. Tucson's undefeated. Portland's 2-1. And then the other team would be L.A.
At the Portland, what are the teams named?
It's going to be the Portland Logs against the Tucson Tequila and the L.A. Tan.
The L.A. Tan.
Yeah, that's the name of the team. And there's five teams in each division on the West Coast. So they have San Antonio, I think, is the one, and then Utah is the other one.
And the Eastern Division is, well, I know there's Milwaukee.
Yeah, we've got the Milwaukee Lions, and there's New York, D.C., Tampa, and Miami. But I'll tell you something. The power in this league this year is on the West Coast. I don't know how that happened, but three best teams in the league right now.
So you guys will be doing a game, and we'll have it on our website. All the games are played on Monday. Is that right?
Yeah, the games are played on Monday because that seems to be the, you know, the best time to do it. And you play it on Saturday or Sunday, there's other games, you know.
So there's no competition?
Well, there's nobody else, yeah, doing that. But this game on Monday is going to be on, it's going to start at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Where's the game?
What?
Where's the game going to be?
The game's going to be in Tucson at Persner Tire Stadium.
Persner Tire Stadium. When I think of Tucson, I think of one of the schools.
Well, no, it's not going to be Arizona State or whatever. I don't know. It's one of them. It's going to be at Persner. This is a ball. It's a football field, and it's a tire company like that.
All right. Well, Larry, thank you very much. And who is your broadcast partner?
My broadcast partner is Ned Garline, and Ned has a long and extensive career as a football commentator, play-by-play, and he called Orlando Redneck games back in the day, and so he's a good one.
The Orlando Rednecks, where'd they play?
They played in the AFL 2 and the PFL and the DFL. And
what are those? Those are all professional leagues, huh?
Yeah, they are. And
what does that stand for? DFL.
I don't know. I know that there was a DFL and a PFL, but I can't tell you what it stands for. I know it stands for something football league.
Well, that goes without saying. Margaret?
Yes. Hi, Larry. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to ask you a question. The quarterbacks and the tight ends and all of these names, is this derivative of football, or are these jokes? What does that mean?
No, ma'am, it's not a joke. It's why do you say that?
Well, I've always wondered about the percentage of gay players, and when you say tight end, it sounds like an inside joke.
No, ma'am, that's a real position. I'd say the tight end because he doesn't play wide out. You know, he's not wide. He don't open it up.
Well, see, that doesn't much...
What?
Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, what do you think?
Wide open? The question that I'm at...
Well, ma'am, it got nothing to do with anal.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry.
Well, can I give my website where my wife and I are selling a stove?
I don't know why you got to take it there.
You just hung up on that man.
Did I really? Yes, I did. Because I don't want to hear his wife and he are selling a stove.
Yeah, I told him he could... That they were going to... He thought we were doing a garage sale, too.
No, we're not doing any garage sale. Are you out of your mind or something? We're not doing a garage sale.
Well, I think that would be very charming, though.
Oh, would it be... No, we're not doing a garage sale. Can you imagine that? How pathetic is that going to get?
Well, man, I mean, you got to try something.
Try what? I'm going to... A garage sale? Hey, hi, everybody. It's Phil Hendry. And let's see. Call us up with the stuff that you've got that we can sell. Hey, here's something. A grandfather clock.
Well, I mean, it would. Don't you think it'd be interesting?
No, I don't. No, in fact, if I ever had to do a garage sale, that would be the day that I would commit suicide on the air.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious, Mr. Henry?
I'm dead serious.
You'll be dead, ma'am.
Yeah, and dead. I'd be dead serious and dead.
Do you understand what you're saying?
I totally understand what I'm saying.
And you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I want you to be very... listen to me, and listen carefully. If I ever, in my career, sink to the level of doing a garage... For a serious garage... Like, if I did it for laughs...
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Phil. As a joke.
No. If as a joke, it's a five-minute bit, maybe. But if I ever did a garage sale...
What about for charity?
All right, you guys are throwing in all this bullcrap. I'm not talking about anything that has to do with charity or doing it as a gag. I'm saying if I ever had to host a garage sale on the air anywhere because I needed the work, I'd blow my brains out on the air.
That's just wrong to do.
Why would you threaten something like that?
I'll tell you why I'd threaten something like that, so nobody will ever hire me to do a garage sale. See? There's a method to my madness.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, see, Robert gets it.
Well, Phil, what if you needed the money?
If I need the money that bad, man, I'll go into construction work. I'll become a dishwasher. I will sell bottles. I'll sell blood. I'll do any... I won't host a garage sale. I'll blow my brains out on the air. If I ever have to go into a studio, I'll just tell them. I probably ought to give them the warning first. Hi, before I go on the air, I want to let all you people know, newsman, engineer, I'm going to blow my brains out here in about 3 minutes. So you might want to just split.
Got a minute? I'd hang around just look at it.
Yeah, you would, man.
I would not. I'd call the police and try to have an interdiction.
A what?
An interdiction.
Interdiction? That's... God, it's all porn and everything.
It's not...
Come on.
That is not porn.
You'd try to save me, and I appreciate that, Margaret, but there would be no saving me. I'd blow my brains out.
Hey, way to go, Mr. Henry. Way to stick your guns. Or gun.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, have you seen enough of the albatross there on Midway Island? I had that shot up throughout the entire segment on Phil TV. Thank you, Larry McKinney. Next hour, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what that said.
What we have here and what we're going to show you here for our viewers on Phil TV is a satellite picture here of what is called, and thank you, Dan, for alerting me to this, man. This is what is called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is the debris. Now, before I show you the satellite shot, look at this shot. Tsunami debris floating fast toward Hawaii. This is as of October 2011. All right, and here we have what looks like a... What is that?
That looks like an airplane.
Yeah, it does. It looks like an aircraft.
Well, I don't know, man. But there's the house. There's a roof of a house. Now here is and if you can make that out, folks, this is the actual satellite shot, and I've isolated it. And you'll see over here, and again, you guys are just listening on the radio, I'll give you the words I view. On the far eastern side of the globe, obviously, is Japan, and on the western side is the United States, and there is our beautiful blue Pacific in the middle. Now, starting in Japan and emanating out in waves of red like tentacles from a jellyfish are these various currents of garbage that stay pretty much in the northern Pacific. They begin to drift southward somewhere across that median, which is our international date line that we all know from our school days. They begin to drift a little southward. And as they reach the west coast, some of these tentacles begin to drift a little northward up into the Canadian coastal areas. The brunt of this, though, looks as if that which makes contact with California, with the west coast, looks as if it's up around Oregon and Washington, but as it reaches California, I don't know, Dan, if you can see this, it starts to push south.
That's probably like a current or something.
That might be the actual ocean currents.
Yeah, it, in other words, it seems to avoid California and areas south like Baja and is pushed to the south. This is why these are represented, this red network of tentacles, like these jellyfish tentacles I was mentioning, suddenly become yellow and go south and begin curving back toward the west. And much, much further south, too. They look like they're as southerly as the Fiji Island or the Tahitian Islands, Fiji, and so forth, traveling just north of Australia. Very strange.
That's why that guy's studying in Hawaii and everything.
There, the scientists that we read about studying in Hawaii, the debris field and how it drifts, it's wild. And the reason why we got started on this is this story that this is the first piece of debris that has entered Hawaiian waters. There have been 12 instances of 12 pieces of debris to hit the U.S. or Canada, confirmed pieces of debris from Japan, and this is the first to hit Hawaii, this bin, a seafood bin. But these satellite pictures show an enormous wave of garbage, and that's something you can't keep from happening.
Well, why are you smiling? You know.
Well, Margaret, I'm smiling because you are an environmentalist, self-described, and you immediately wanted to blame the United States.
I am blaming the United States for not doing more to intercept this debris and to somehow save those birds on Midway Island. This is a battle that's being fought for years, Phil. The Midway albatross, you know, I wish I could explain.
Wait. Hold on.
You didn't know that albatross existed.
Excuse me, what did you say? Existed? I don't know that word, existed.
You didn't know they did. You didn't know they exist.
Robert's saying you didn't even know the albatross existed until I told you about it.
I beg your pardon. I knew that we had an environmental problem.
Yeah, you didn't know about albatross.
What? You know, Phil, if you want me on your show, could I talk to people that are not struggling with some sort of a malformed tongue? Or
I'm a malformed tongue. You got a malformed ear and a malformed brain. If you don't understand that an albatross, that you didn't know anything about it until Mr. Henry talked about it just now.
It's true. You didn't know a thing about it. Now all of a sudden you're yapping about the albatross on Midway, and oh my goodness, what a tragedy. And oh, you know.
Could you please put the there you go. You had the television camera on this ridiculous-looking picture.
I'll do what I need to do, okay?
Oh, okay, Jack.
Oh, is that Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson and Hoffa. I'm gonna do what I gotta do, get Union back. The most gloid delivered line in cinema history. And
all right, we can stop with the Gloyd delivered line.
What's she talking about?
She's talking about we were watching Hoffa the other night with Jack Nicholson, and he goes, "I'm going to do what I got to do, get the union back."
He butchered it up.
Yes, he butchered it up, just the same way Phil does every night.
I didn't butcher anything up. What I said, and you can change the subject all you want. I said, I showed a picture to my audience of the albatross on Midway Island. These animals may be negatively impacted by this debris that is coming from the tsunami. I didn't blame anybody. I didn't blame Japan. I could easily have blamed Japan.
How in my... Oh, my God. How do you blame those poor people in Japan?
I got it. Here, Margaret, why don't I be as silly as you? Why don't I say the Japanese should have nailed their houses down better?
Yeah, should have. Exactly. Exactly. Or they should have had a better, they should have tied the boats up better.
Oh, right. They're going to tie their boats up better. And oh, my. Woo! Oh.
Well, what's...
That is... How are you... Do you understand, Bud? You could tie that boat up as if Superman tied that knot. The boat is going to be destroyed.
Yeah, well, if Superman tied a knot, though, the boat may go, but it would take the dock.
All right, so it takes the dock. So then what?
Well...
Oh, you know, this is an asinine conversation. You're proving my point. Tie the boats down better, tie the houses down. Of course they're not going to be able to do that. I'm not blaming them, but that's what you would do. That's what you would say. You would say that America is to blame for the debris because America didn't nail its houses down better. We didn't build our houses better, you know.
Well, Phil, America is the number one country in the world. I don't know whether you know that or not. I don't know if you read the newspapers. We are the number one nation in the world.
Okay.
So don't you think we should know a little more about keeping the albatross from, I don't know what you call it, but...
Yeah, exactly how are the albatross being threatened, Margaret? You don't even know. You just heard me say albatross are threatened, and you started jumping all over it and humping it.
Are you trying to tell me that I was hip-thrusting the albatross issue like a slut?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Good night.
Oh, come on back, Margaret.
Good night.
Come on! We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Sano's coming up.
So I'm dry humping the albatross issue.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said I'm dry humping.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
Well, we had a picture there. There it is right there.
Yeah, you're not answering my questions, though.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore, Margaret, about, you know, what you think about the, you know, the albatross, because you're, you know.
You think I'm a knee-jerk environmentalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a jerk.
I will hurt you physically. You understand that, don't you?
Not in this studio, you won't.
No, not here, but I will hurt you physically. I'm a woman, but I will bury this in your eye.
See what she did? It's the same thing done yesterday.
Well, then don't bug her. It's a hell of a thing to say, Margaret.
I don't care. I'm sitting here trying to make a point, and you've got that man sitting there and waving his arms around and spit flying from his mouth, and he's always eating. What is that you're eating right now?
They're garlic sticks.
Yes, I could. Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out, what that smell was. There was a stench. Oh.
Well, the other night you were complaining about the stink coming off of us.
Yeah, the cable was coming from your purse.
Exactly. It was coming out of your purse. So.
That wasn't a purse. It was a bag, a shopping bag. Oh, God.
So we got that one wrong. Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't know what a purse is.
Oh, no, we don't. We're guys. It looked like a purse. You call it a bag. Okay.
You're guys, huh? Well, I think the jury's out on that one. Oh, give me five.
Yeah. Get out of here. Give me five. All right. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us as we speak here tonight. On this very, very unusual occurrence in the Middle East. It's never occurred in my life. This has never happened in my life until I read this story. I've never seen anything like this. And it is a group, a populist demonstration of Libyan people who are opposing the killing of U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens, blaming the Libyan officials for involvement in it, and essentially a backlash against this alleged terrorist group, Ansar al-Sharia, this brigade in central Benghazi. I say terrorist group because Ansar al-Islam was a group of al-Qaeda-allied terrorists that operated in Iraq before 9/11, and we're there in Iraq, and of course that doesn't matter to anybody because their name isn't Al Qaeda, so they're just fine and dandy. But nonetheless, this was the group, and it's a very, very interesting story. And I want to get a little bit more into it. Jay Santos joining us here from the South Bay this evening, out on patrol with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, it's certainly good of you to be with us, and I appreciate you taking the time.
You know, always a pleasure to be on your program, especially to talk about security and certainly security of people.
This story here says Benghazi fighting erupts as protesters oppose Libyan militia. Fighting broke out in the city of Benghazi as unarmed protesters tried to capture a base of the Islamist militia, blamed by some Libyan officials for involvement in the killing of U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens. Libyan television reported 28 casualties in the fighting yesterday at the headquarters of the Ansar al-Sharia Brigade in Benghazi. Protesters earlier took control of Ansar al-Sharia base inside Benghazi and the base of a second militia after a day of demonstrations against the failure of Libya's government to discipline militias.
It's a very interesting situation, Phil, as we monitor that situation. Certainly we do join with you and other people who are outrage at the killing of Ambassador Stevens. We join you, Phil, in feeling a feeling of that this is a positive sign, if you want to put it that way, coming from the Libyan people, that they will not be necessarily dictated to or controlled by a murdering mob. Having said that, we do want to observe and to monitor the situation before we. I can't imagine us going over there and telling them, to back down, but we certainly would try and consider some action to make sure that they don't ever step a bounds.
Well, no, you got to tell me something. How do you guys go over and control that? I just wanted to get a security overview.
You want to get what?
I just wanted to get a security overview. I didn't know that you're not going to go over there.
No, only if we see the Libyan authorities overstepping their bounds. Now, look, the people said that we don't like what the Libyan authority is doing, and we want them to hold accountable those militias that are acting in an amoral way. And I can certainly agree with that, and we will, of course, back that up. But if they do not, then, of course, we have to look at that.
But you're not going to go over there.
No, I'm not saying that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to go over there and straighten things out. It's ridiculous. But what I am saying is if we see the Libyan authority not acting in a way that is, not acting in a way that's beneficial to Libyan people, then we would most likely at least attempt to speak to Libyan officials, for instance, here in the United States. We would try to contact Libyan officials in Washington and do what we could to freeze assets. Those are things that the Citizens Auxiliary Police can do.
And I don't understand how you guys can do that. You're not even an official police agency. I mean, what I wanted...
Well, when you say we're not official police agency, it gets us back to that. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? You're saying I'm not official police agency?
I'm saying that you guys are not officially police. You are a volunteer group. You are a group that you say that you, monitor the police to make sure they're not overstepping their bounds. How do you...
I didn't say that we were going to go to Libya, Phil, and rescue people. And
no, I know that, but what you did say was that you would attempt to contact Libyan officials and freeze their assets. How do you possibly do that?
That's probably one of the easiest things that we could do in terms of being Citizens Auxiliary Police to freeze an asset of Libya. That's probably one of the easiest things what we do. So I'm not exactly sure if you...
Well, tell me how you would do that.
That's a very easy thing to do. I mean, you contact... any Libyan official is currently in the country. You can make contact with them inside the embassy or inside a consulate, make contact with them outside, and at that time approach them and tell them that you are there to unfortunately freeze whatever assets they have. And it's something as simple. Sometimes assets are billions of dollars, Phil, and sometimes an asset is nothing more than someone's automobile or what they have on them. And no, it's not a difficult thing. That
what they have on them.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And
so you're, what are you telling me? You mug them?
No, I am not saying that we mug them. We would not. That's an illegal act. That's a very interesting thing. Why would you even say, I want to do that?
Well, you said what they have on them. You're going to freeze the assets. So that sounds to me like you're mugging them.
No, I'm not mugging them. Mugging somebody is taking their money and going out and using it for purchasing crack cocaine, support on a drug or support of a drug and of a whore, not a whore, but a prostitution. We're talking about freezing an asset. And
Where's the money go? How do you get the money off of them? Are you saying...
it's very simple. You walk and say, what do you got on you? What do you have on you?
And so you're forcibly taking money from an individual standing on a street.
No, I'm saying I'm freezing the assets of a lit. I can go back and forth.
Can I say something, Phil? This is Margaret Gray, Mr. Santa. Sir, is that your name?
Well, my name is Santos.
All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Santos. Phil is saying that you are essentially approaching a private citizen.
No, I'm not. I'm approaching a member of Libya.
You're approaching a member of Libya.
Yes, ma'am. Or Libya. What I mean is, I'm approaching a consulate of Libya.
Yes, but you're approaching an individual Libyan.
That is correct.
Here in the United States.
That is correct. Yes.
All right. What do you say to that individual before you ask them what they have on them?
Well, what we say to them is essentially, I'm Jay Santos, I'm a Citizens Auxiliary Police, represented by Major Elvis Newton. We are here to save lives. We have Sub-Commander Gleason, which generally is the sub-commander what I go with, and we also have Sub-Commander Thompson. And then we will say, in the name of the American, of the Libyan people and America too, can you tell me what you got, how much you got on you right now, and do you have your car keys?
And so you're asking them, how much do you have, and what if they say, I've got $2,000 on me?
I'd say that that we would have to freeze it.
You got to freeze it?
That's correct.
And they willingly hand this over?
Well, sir, Mr. Henry, there are ways of getting people money.
It sounds like you're stealing their money.
I'm not stealing their money. When you say to them, in the name of the American people, I am freezing assets. Let's back up a little bit. You've heard about freezing assets.
Yes, sir. I've heard of freezing assets, government to government. I've heard of governments freezing assets.
You asked me what we do on our level as the Citizens Auxiliary Police to affect an international situation. And I'm telling you, we will freeze an asset if we got to.
Well, Phil said that it is government to government, not Citizens Auxiliary. This sounds like a neighborhood watch.
We are not a neighborhood boy. You just said something. We are not a neighborhood watch. I asked Mr. Henry not to have anyone on his program that would go to that level of humiliation, and you've done it. And, Mr. Henry, at this particular time now, I wish to conclude. And
Hold on. Margaret,
What did I do?
Don't call it neighborhood watch.
All right. I'm telling you right now, if I hear it again.
All right, hold the line, and we won't, and we'll be right back. Hold on. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, on freezing the assets of Libya. Basically, his group finds some Libyan official coming out of a consulate and takes his money away from him. That's what I'm hearing, and his car keys. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, hold on for a minute. What you just said, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, were talking about the situation in Libya and the very interesting, and as I mentioned, I've never seen this happen. I've been around, for all of the years that I've been around, I've seen all kinds of anti-American protests, and I've heard of all kinds of anti-American protests in every part of the world. This is the first time in the Middle East. Very first time in the Middle East, possibly other than maybe in Israel, I don't know even know if it's happened in Israel, that people have just taken to the streets to protest violence against Americans and against an American acting in an official capacity, an ambassador. I'm telling you.
Well, what are you going to get all? So what? I mean, you're making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, Phil, if I could say something.
Go ahead.
I think we have to be very careful because there's going to be a perception on a part. I got to tell you, and I do agree with Ms. Gray on this one, that the war in Iraq, I think, was very ill-advised. And I do believe the war in Iraq was ill-advised. And that when this happens, when Libya happens, when Tunisia happened, when Egypt happened, and when a great many other countries started to have the democracy protest, people started to say, and you were one of them, that it was on account of the war in Iraq.
Absolutely. And that is a misreading of history.
I have to agree, because I was opposed to the war in Iraq.
Wait. Let me say something. Okay?
Phil, you have had the bully pulpit on this for a long time. I'd like to hear Mr. Sando.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm just saying, Phil, to say that the Arab Spring, if you want to call it that, was inspired by the American invasion of Iraq is so, you know, that's very typical, I think, of a lot of pro-American propaganda which won't take credit for everything. You know?
That is very well said. I think that that people like you, Phil, that are always trying to give America credit...
And people like you that are always trying to rip her down...
I am not trying to rip the country down, but are you trying to tell me that the war in Iraq inspired the demonstrations in Egypt and Tunisia?
Yeah, see, I think that's overstepping your bounds. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Is it just coincidence? Is it just, it just happens to be coincidence that the American invasion of Iraq, all of this stuff that happened in the Middle East, we had 9/11, and then we had the crap hit the fan in the Middle East for the first time in years.
What do you mean, first time in years? I mean, you know, Israel's been down there fighting the fight.
No. You're missing the point. This was the first time that a power from outside of the Middle East came in and rocked the freaking boat. And we went in and we did what we did. And the next thing you know, well, guess what? We've got the green wave there in Iran, and we have the thing in Tunisia. We got the thing in Egypt, and everybody doing twists and flips to try to not have it be about America.
I think that is propagandizing at its worst.
Phil, I think you just got to understand something, that No way. I am as much a fan of America as you are.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, yes, I am, Mr. Henry, but it so happens that I believe that the war in Iraq is wrong, and I was convinced of that through a series of meetings that I've had, not only with members of the anti-war movement, but my own personal life. The fact that I was very blessed, Phil. I was very blessed that I was awarded a part of my uncle's estate on my wife's side after he died, with the provision that I be opposed to the war in Iraq. And I didn't find it very difficult at that time to sign on to that. And
wait, what is this?
No, that's very courageous.
Thank you.
Wait, what is this? What happened?
I said that my wife's uncle, who held a great deal of land in Northern California and also held some tracts of land in San Francisco City of the Bay, the city of the Bay.
San Francisco?
Yes, sir. I'm a little bit nervous now talking about this because it still excites me thinking of it. I came into quite a bit of money, but it was a provision in his will that I be opposed to war in Iraq. He was very liberal. And he was a man who fought his whole life through for the peace of the world.
That is absolutely beautiful. And, Phil, I think stories like that are happening all over the world.
Stories like that where a guy changes his position politically so he gets a lot of money?
No, that is not what happened there.
No, Phil, I did that out of love for my wife.
Out of love for your wife?
My wife wanted me to do something that would make the old man smile. We had been at odds for a long time. I had been in favor of it. I'd been in favor of it a long time. And my wife said, please, you know, Jay, he wants to know that you love him. And I said, I guess this makes me wrong, but I don't think it does.
What?
I said to him, I will do whatever you want me to do, but I need to have a percentage stake in the estate.
See?
Well, you guys are looking at me like, what don't you get, Phil? What don't you guys get?
What is not to get?
What are you talking about?
This guy changes his point of view on the war in Iraq so he has a percentage of his great uncle, or what is it?
It was my uncle-in-law.
Your uncle-in-law? What is that?
You don't know what an uncle-in-law... Let's not get bogged down, Phil. An uncle-in-law. All right?
Yeah, you don't know what that is?
Who knows what an uncle-in-law is? In other words,
my wife's uncle. He's an uncle-in-law.
I've never heard of an uncle-in-law. I've heard of uncles, and I don't think it extends that far.
Well, it extends... What's that supposed to be? It extends that far.
Wait, are you talking about... He can't... You know, Phil, you really are obsessed with penis size.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying extension of the family ties.
Well, Mr. Henry, I can tell you this.
What are you smiling at?
I just the obsessions you have.
I wasn't talking about that. You've got some kind of a mental disorder.
Mr. Henry, what I'm saying is that I try to make an old man smile. And when I said to him, are you telling me that you will give me interest in two ranches up in Cloverdale, as well as piece of property in San Francisco, if I oppose the war in Iraq officially, he said, yeah, I do. And I remember I shook his hand, and I said, that's a deal. And he died, but I'm glad that I made him happy.
Yeah, but there was no personal interest in any of that, was there?
No, there was not. I swear to God, no, there was not, Mister. I know you don't believe me, Mister Henry, but I swear to God.
Phil, I think the man is sincere.
Oh, well, of course.
Well, I think you're very cynical, Phil.
No, Jay, come on. Look, I wasn't born yesterday, man. You're telling me that...
Phil, you weren't born yesterday. I understand that. But you got a long way to go to learn about people. You really do, Mr. Henry.
No, do I really? Well, I'll tell you what, the lesson doesn't start here. You're telling me that you went to this man and you said to him, I'll oppose the war in Iraq if I get a piece of the estate. You said that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did, because I knew he was drawing up his will, and I knew that Mandy, who's my wife, was going to get peace, but that don't mean I get no peace. And
well, yes, it does, in California's community property.
This is going to be held by her. It's going to have nothing to do with me.
Wait a minute. Anything that you... Well, I don't know what the law says.
Yeah, right there. You don't know what the law says. All right, Cochise? You don't know what the law says.
No, I'm just saying to you, I swear to Almighty God, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I didn't take it just to be rich. I swear to God.
I'm not convinced. I don't believe you.
Oh, okay. So, all right, then I think you're a douchebag. How's that feel?
I don't care.
Well, I don't care if you don't believe me.
You see what happened? You relegate yourself to the level of a child, you know?
I believe he just said that I'm a douchebag.
Yes, but he did say that you are a douchebag, but I think in this instance, that is a very adult statement.
Right, because you called me a liar.
I called you a liar because I...
Phil.
Go ahead, explain.
We're going into a commercial break.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget that the Phil Henry Show is online at philhenryshow.com. Episode 44, the free Phil Henry podcast, will be dropping tomorrow. We're going to up our podcast output to 4 a week. The Milwaukee Lions are blacked out this week, but there will be a Hillbilly Football Conference game. We just talked to Larry McKinney earlier in the show, and he and Ned Garline will be at the Portland-Tucson game, and we'll carry that for you live Monday. We'll have the audio version of that. That is the we'll have the radio call on Phil TV and HD Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. All right, Jay Santos on the line with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we've been talking here about the Libyan people. To me, this is an amazing thing. And as I said, I've never seen it before. And I think that what makes a lot of people nervous, Margaret, you and Jay...
Are you going to talk to us directly, or are you going to talk about us like we're not here?
I'm going to talk to you directly. But there's no question that there are things happening in this world that throws you guys, you liberal, progressive, what do you want to call it, when it comes to these things... You know,
Phil, hold on. I'm not a liberal. I am 100% a conservative. So I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That you were opposed to the war in Iraq.
Yeah, right. And so is Ron Paul. So is Ron Paul.
Okay, you're a conservative.
That is absolutely right.
What do you think about national health care?
I am a conservative, Phil, in a 1,000,000% down the line. All right? And because I'm a conservative, 1,000,000% down the line, I am in favor of national health care.
That is a completely, that is antithetical, that is anathema to conservatives.
Well, I don't know none of that. Yeah, you want to start using 50-cent word. Yep.
No, it's no, I'm not, sir. That is absolutely anathema to people in the conservative movement supporting national health care.
Now, Mr. Henry, I would suggest that you start reading up on issues a little bit better. You don't know what you're talking about. National health care is something that conservatives have long triumphed, and or not triumphed, but they've long, what's the word? They've long been triumphant over.
You mean championed?
That is correct. National health care has been something conservatives have long been championing. And I don't know where you get the idea.
I don't know where you get the idea that, that conservatives like national health care. They hate it. They especially hate it because of Obama. They don't like it. They think it's a national tax that is onerous, if not absolutely ruinous. They believe it to be the ultimate in government intrusion. They believe it takes choice away from people as to their health care provider and their doctors. They believe that it is going to be giving away money to a bunch of deadbeat poor people. I mean, are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding?
Well, you know, I feel sorry. Everything you just said there, you know, I feel sorry for you.
Phil, there are aspects of the conservative movement that do agree. Aspects, huh? Yes, that do agree with national health care. I don't know of any.
Well, what about the... Well, I don't know.
Well, all right, I've got... Well, how about Medicare? Medicare is one thing that conservatives have accepted because their constituents won't let them not accept it. Even conservative voters, and that is people that are in the age group that most benefit by Medicare, even those people will not allow their conservative representatives, congresspeople, senators, etc., they will not allow them to do anything. It has become de facto. It is an accepted part of American life. Okay?
Well, so in other words, that's what I'm saying. If you say that Medicare is accepted by conservatives, then it is a very small step, Mr. Henry, very small step indeed, to go national health care. I don't know why you don't get that.
That is a very good point, and I think that is often overlooked. You know, Phil, if you're losing the argument, lose it with grace, please.
I think that's that.
You guys are never going to get me to buy that. There's no conservative in America that would ever stand here and say, "Oh yeah, sure, we believe." Let me ask you this: what about abortion?
You're talking about a woman's right to choose. I think conservatives are right down. You got to understand something, Mr. Henry. I don't know.
Yep. Let me answer for you. You believe in abortion.
I want to answer the way I want to answer, okay?
No, you believe in abortion.
I want to answer the way I want to answer, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
Now, you're talking about abortion as in before it's born, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about a woman's right to choose, Jay.
All right. So, in other words, terminating a kid before it is fully born. I don't know the medical term.
Terminating the pregnancy. Terminating the pregnancy up to a certain point. There is a legal standard. First trimester, second trimester.
Right. But you're talking about terminating pregnancy before there is ever a kid. Is basically what I'm saying, yep.
Basically, that's true, Jay. Before there's a kid, yes.
All right, before a kid. And conservatives have never been opposed to that. And
that is absolute horse dung. Will you please let him finish?
That is not horse dung, Mr. Henry. That is not horse dung, Mr. Henry. That is absolute truth. If you're saying before it's a kid, after it's a kid, no conservative would be in favor of that.
No liberals in favor of that. Who wants to kill a child? We're talking about the pregnancy of a woman carrying a fetus that is a part of her body up to a certain point. This is a part of the system, the woman's physical system, the support of this fetus.
And up to a certain point, according to our law, it is legal for that woman to have an abortion. And you agree with that?
Absolutely. I don't agree with it after it's a kid.
After it's a kid? Are you talking about when it's born?
Why don't you calm down?
Yeah, I really don't like...
Yeah, you better calm down, Phil. Mr. Hall...
I don't care about Mr. Hall. What do you mean after it's a kid?
After it's a kid. After it comes out walking around. It's walking around. Are you afraid we're going to be terminated?
What? You know, Dave, I've known you for a lot of years, man. When did you start talking gibberish? You know?
You don't agree with my opinion.
No, that's not it. You're just talking like this. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, here we go again. Phil always goes to this. You always drop down to the level of pointing and laughing at someone's misshapen mouth. Now, I can tell listening to Mr. Santos that he probably... Were you ever involved, Mr. Santos, in an automobile accident where something... Where something was driven into your face?
No, I was not, ma'am. No, I was not. Why do you say that?
I'm standing up for your rights to speak as you do.
I come from Pennsylvania.
There, he comes from Pennsylvania. That's why you talk...
You know, Phil, there's a lot of stuff you say that I don't understand. And one of the things you say I don't understand is the support of a war of Iraq. I don't get that at all.
And one of the things that I don't understand you're saying is you believe in abortion as a conservative up to the point that it's walking around.
Yeah, when a kid's walking around.
What about when it's crawling?
Well, it's the same difference. I'm talking about, you know...
Phil, he's saying that when the child is ex... When the child is now an ex-fetus, or when it is external. When the child is an external child. Do you understand?
When the child is an external child, yeah.
Well, don't sit there as if I'm the one that's being stupid. When the child... You know exactly what I'm saying.
Now, he does this on purpose, Ms. Gray, because I've seen it before.
No, wait. All night long here, Jay, since I've had you on, you've been talking about being a conservative. And I say, oh, well, give me some conservative points of view. Well, we're in favor of health care and we're pro-abortion. Those are, to my way of thinking, traditional liberal points of view.
Liberals do... think that way, but conservatives do too. Those are areas that we agree on.
Yeah, those are areas we're going to agree on. With a
liberal?
A Democrat.
With a liberal.
No, with a
What about progressive?
Yeah, progressive. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, whatever, man. It's the same thing.
No, not whatever. No, not whatever. Not whatever. Because a progressive is going to be more open-minded about these things.
All right, so in any event, you believe in abortion. Okay, next topic.
No, but I want to be clear on this. I'm talking about the external kid.
See, he's saying, Phil, when the kid is external...
Oh, boy, you guys really are pissing me off. When the kid's... You mean after the kid was born?
Yes.
Okay, you can say that. Where does this external kid come from?
That is a very specific term. I am really amazed that you refuse to use terms that are a part of the lexicon of this debate. Oh, my God.
Margaret.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, in any event, thank you, Margaret. So when the kid and what the way I've heard it, a kid's external when a kid's walking around, walking and going where it wants to go. Obviously, when it's a fetus, it's only going to go, well, it can't go nowhere, you know?
When it's a fetus, gee, let me think. Oh, yeah, it has to stay inside the woman's body.
Look at the sarcasm.
Yeah, I feel it's not becoming, okay?
Well, gee, I'm really sorry that I'm not attractive to you. Wow.
Hey, by the way, that's one other thing that conservatives are very much... in agreement about.
You guys believe in gay marriage?
Yes, we do, but that don't mean I'm going to marry you, okay?
Who says you... Okay. All right, Jay, so thank you very much.
Well, I wanted to mention that we are going to have a Citizens Auxiliary Police block meeting, and this is going to have to do with your mailboxes, which have a lot of... I just want to mention this is South Bay, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll try not to take up your valuable time, God.
Phil, why can't you be gracious enough to just let him win this argument?
You win, Jay. You win.
So you do agree that once a kid is going where it wants to go...
You shouldn't kill it. I agree.
Okay. Now, the next thing I want to mention is that we're having a neighborhood meeting. This will be taking place on September 2nd.
Wait, September 2nd?
That's correct.
Well, that's like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
did the meeting already take place?
I guess it did. I guess I missed it. It was a meeting on what they were... That's what... Now I understand. Now I understand. My mailbox got blowed up. I understand now. I went out to my mailbox yesterday morning, and it had been blown up. And the reason for that is now I get it. Okay.
What, your mailbox had been blown up. What does that mean?
Well, the meeting that we were having, that I thought we were going to have, is... Can you hold on for just... Yeah, would you get Major Newton on the phone? Because my mailbox... Now I know why the mailbox got blown up. What happened was, Phil, we had a meeting. People are leaving excess mail, and they're leaving junk mail and flyers in their mailboxes, and that flyer material gets blown out of the mailbox out on the street. And I had said to Major Newton it would be a very good thing if we could at least tell people that they need to get that mail out of that mailbox, or there's going to be a consequence. And
so what was the blowing up people's mailboxes?
That was one of the things to discuss, okay?
Well, let him finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was one of the things to discuss. Jim, do you have that recording? Jim Taliaferro, and his wife had, had not gotten a mail out of the box. You record that. Go ahead. Roll that. That's recorded. Point train. Point citizens auxiliary police. All right, so that was one of the things that...
I didn't hear that. What was that?
That was a mailbox exploding, right?
Yeah, we had blowed up Jim Taliaferro. His mailbox, not him, obviously. Well, go ahead. Citizens auxiliary police, and then we're going to Bob Terrier. And that was the mailbox get blown up.
So you came out to your mailbox today, and it was blown to bits.
That is correct.
What are you laughing at?
Is he laughing?
Yes, he is. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the fact that Jay had his own mailbox.
I got to tell you, I've seen the dregs in my life. I've really seen the dregs. I've seen the scum of the earth. But you are rock bottom. You really are, Mr. Henry.
I'm rock bottom because I am what?
You're laughing at the destruction of a man's personal property.
Because this guy's own Citizens Auxiliary Police said, get your garbage junk mail out of there or your mailbox is going to get blown up.
Right, but I am one of the founding members of Citizens Auxiliary Police. Don't you think I get passed? Or at least someone going to give me... And instead, my mailbox get blown up?
Well, you're out there recording other guys' mailboxes getting blown up.
That was Jim Taliaferro. Okay, enough said.
No, not enough said. I never heard of this guy.
You've never heard of him?
No, I have not.
Well, I'm here to tell you, Mr. Henry, that Jim Taliaferro was at one time on a short list of the Zodiac murderer. Okay?
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Jim Taliaferro, I think I read the name on... It wasn't on Wikipedia. It was one of the later names mentioned.
Jim Taliaferro was on a short list of the killer. Did they arrest him?
No, they did not. They didn't find any evidence.
Oh, but he was on the list.
He was suspected, yes.
Okay, so that means, he got his mailbox blown up.
I think if you were on a short list of people... I'm sorry, I can't take it anymore.
All right.
Well, you know something, Phil? I'm glad you're having a good time, because I think Mr. Santos is right, and it is unnecessary to laugh at a man's misfortune.
Jay, I gotta let you go, okay?
Well, Phil, yeah, let me go. Right when I'm making my good point.
You hung up on him, Mr. Ange, just want you know.
I know. You don't have to tell me that I've hung up on somebody. I know. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and then we'll get into the Jim Taliaferro.
I'm not talking about any such thing with you. I think you acted very crudely and very rudely.
Well, I'm going to talk about it. You don't have to. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Jim
Taliaferro is our bitch.
Was on a short list.
The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Show.
I think that would do that.
Welcome back to your world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And on the line with me is Frank Gray, Margaret's husband. Frank, how you doing, Frank?
I'm doing very, very well, young man. I'm better than Custer. It's good to be on the air with you. Hello, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good, Frank. How are you, darling?
We're good. We're coming back from the dinner. We had a baseball dinner, and even though the season is long way off, my son is going to probably be one of the starting pitchers on the freshman year. So she's very excited about that.
Yeah, Frank has gender confusion.
Yeah, I know that. Frank, your son, Jason J. Delmonico, is going to be a pitcher on the Frosh squad?
That's it, yeah. They have a freshman squad at the high school, and he's great. The coach is a woman, and he told me that he thinks that Jason J. Delmonico could possibly be a big league pitcher because he really likes her arm, you know.
The coach is a woman, huh?
Oh, yeah, that happens now.
Well, it's not so unusual. They are encouraging women to stand up and stand up for themselves and quit being stepped on by men.
Well, Margaret, I'm not saying anything, but I mean, I don't know that many women who were knowledgeable in the, baseball.
Well, you were the one that was making all the fast pitch jokes.
Yeah, well, you had to understand that this woman is a heterosexual.
Okay, so?
Well, it's unusual coming from the fast pitch softball background that he comes from.
Does your son play hardball or softball, or what does he play?
Well, I'd like to think that she plays hardball. I mean, when it counts, you know.
I'm not asking that, Frank. I'm asking, does your son what kind of baseball does your son play?
She plays a hell of a great brand of baseball.
He's one of the best players, Phil.
No, I'm not asking that. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Who are you yelling at? Are you yelling at me?
Yes, I'm yelling at both of you. I'm asking, do you know what softball is?
I know that you play a brand of softball, my friend. You don't scare me at all. And
I'm not talking about the rhetorical or the metaphorical uses of the word. I'm talking about the literal game of... Okay, so what's that mean?
Well, obviously he hung up, Phil. He doesn't like you yelling at him.
How stupid are people at your house?
You know, I could get up too and walk out of here, but I'm not...
Now, look at that. You made her cry.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Margaret, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
How dare you raise your voice?
All right. I was asking Frank if Jason J. Delmonico plays the kind of baseball where they throw overhand... Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Then why couldn't someone answer me?
Well, you're talking about the kind that the Dodgers play.
Yes. Does he play that kind? Or does he play softball, which is the underhand kind?
And you're making a lesbian joke.
No, I'm not making a lesbian joke. No, I'm not. No, I'm not at all.
Well, why would you call my son that?
I'm not calling your son a lesbian. I assume your son being male.
See, there you go with your sarcasm. Phil, I've got to go in the bathroom. I have to relieve myself. I also need to change some feminine things. And I'm going to think about what you said.
Great. Thank you for making that announcement.
Well, Phil, I don't think your audience is immature as you and Bud, who's laughing right now.
I can't help it. He's pretty funny.
Shut up, Bud. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Okay.
So do you mind if I go and do that?
No, I don't mind at all. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
Do you have the key to the bathroom? Or do we need that?
Sure.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as always, our number 877-876-7445 and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We were just looking at a video clip of Endeavour, the space shuttle, which is being now retired and in point of fact was retired by NASA. It was flown to Los Angeles, and it is now residing at the Museum of what we used to call the Museum of Science and Industry. I guess it's now called the U.S. Science Museum at Expo Park. It's down near the Coliseum. Well, what I was also sharing with our audience online, Phil TV, was a look at the Endeavour space shuttle being flown on a tour of California, and I don't know what the actual route was, but people standing near the Golden Gate Bridge were able to get snapshots and amateur home video of it flying right over the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm one of these. You're looking at me disapprovingly, Margaret.
Well, I don't know. I don't mean that. I think that it's wonderful to enjoy those things.
No, but there's something more with me. I am so old-fashioned American, it's just not even funny. You know, I just am.
Well, I think that's very unusual for a young man. You said that you were a very anti-Vietnam War.
Yes, I was in my younger days. I mean, what is so unusual about a young man? What is unusual about people changing as they get older?
Well, I don't think it's unusual at all. I think that it shows a... I think it shows a weakness of character.
A weakness of character? Why?
Well, you were very much the liberal.
I've still retained a lot of my liberal views.
Yes, but now you're more of a flag-waving American. I don't know how that comports with the good, solid, traditional liberal roots that you had. Now, I do believe that people that are constantly going this way and that with their beliefs are not to be... Oftentimes, they're not to be trusted.
Well, let me just say something about that. It is a normal state of the human being.
Well, Phil, don't take your glasses off and settle back in your chair like you're now, you know, daddy's now going to tell the little girl, you know.
Margaret, don't get defensive. I'm just, you know, warming to the topic. That's all. I'm saying, what is wrong with someone looking at life anew and changing their opinion? It shows a flexibility, an ability to think. I'm not different in terms of my beliefs on a lot of human rights issues. I've always been the liberal that I've always been, and I always will be. But, I have certainly come... The only thing that's changed about me is I've come to really appreciate and love this country more than I ever did when I was younger. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it doesn't become this sort of, oh, I don't know... There's a certain jingoism. There's a certain xenophobia that is coupled with that jingoism that I think can be very dangerous.
Jingoism. Jingoism is nationalism. It's almost a Japanese or German sort of militarism, circa World War II. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about marshaling everybody in the streets and marching off to war. I'm talking about just I love this country. If you're going to love a country, what better country to love than America?
Well, what does that mean?
If you're going to love a country, what country is better to love than America?
Well, I would think that there are a great many countries that are on a par.
Like who?
Well, let's talk about our friends to the north, Canada.
Canada. All right, Canada's a very good example. Canada's a very good example. Canada's a marvelous country, okay?
Yes, but what? Because here the other shoe is going to drop here in a minute.
Yeah, are you saying you like Canada, Mr. Henry?
I think Canada is a great place. I honest to God do. I have family from Canada. I have family still in Canada. It's a great country. It's a beautiful country. And the people are great people. And by God, you know, Canada, you know, when you need them, man, they're there. Yeah, sure, they got a lot of anti-American bullcrap. But the thing about Canada is not their politics, okay?
Well, then what is it?
The thing about Canada is something that they can't help. They just happen to be a country full of white people, okay?
Well, what do you call America?
America is a country that has had to accept for a long time the multiracial reality of its people, the multicultural reality of its immigrant people, and America has been at work solving that kind of challenge for many, 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 many more years than any other country on the face of the earth in a democratic framework. There's all kinds of ways that you could force countries together tribally, culturally, and racially. If you have a dictator, if you have, for instance, a Saddam Hussein who sat at the top of in Iraq, who forced all of these tribes, all of these religions, and all of these peoples together, you know.
Well, I don't understand the multiracial aspect. You, there's where you tripped up. What's multiracial about Iraq?
Margaret, if you want to look for something to trip me up on, you're right. They're all Arabs. But I am saying...
There, see right there.
That's fine, but that's not a gotcha moment, Margaret. I'm sorry, because what I'm saying is the differences culturally, the differences in terms of religion, these are things that needed a dictator to hold them together. Otherwise, they would have been at each other's throats. Only in America, a democratic country rooted in law, not in tribal tradition, not in religious tradition, law, secular law, only in America have we been able to even make a run at learning how to live together multiracially, multiculturally, with many different religions. Now, that is unique.
So Canada does it.
Yeah, Canada does it, except they don't have any black people.
Canada's got black people. I'm not saying they don't have black. I'm saying that Canada does not have to deal with the cultural and the people realities that America has to deal with any more than any other country.
What about the fact that we don't have national health care and everyone else does? And you said that shows that they're superior.
I didn't say it shows they're superior. I said it works for them, and it is something we've been slow to that we have been slow to warm to. And I agree. I think I would, yes, I would like that for my country. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, Germany was the first country in the West that had national health care. It was a few decades later that Adolf Hitler rose to power. So all kinds of people who are opposed to health care could make the point that look what health care got Germany.
Oh, are you putting me on? Are you trying to say that that's got something to do with Hitler?
I'm saying that there are people who are opponents of health care who can say that. Okay?
Well, thank you for giving them the idea.
Yeah, you kind of did, Mr. Henry, when you say that.
Yeah, that is pretty funny, though.
What is funny about that?
Well,
look at me, don't look at him.
I didn't say anything.
Look at me, don't look at Phil.
Tell him what to do.
No, he's looking away from me. I want to know what's funny about that.
Because it just is what Mr. Henry said.
So you think it's funny that national health care in Germany gave rise to ovens? If I was not constrained by your dictates, Phil, and also what Frank told me, I'd keep the 4-carat diamond turned around to the front, and I'd give a good quick jab to the left eyeball.
Of Bud.
Of Bud, yes.
Well, and that would blind him.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie, what?
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Do you remember the song? Oh, God. Bud, you don't know this song. This tells me everything that I need to know about how I feel about you, Bud, and the fact that sometimes you make me so angry, I want to just shoot a right hand into your eyeball with the 4-carat diamond sticking out. And the song goes something like this. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what should I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be do? Do, 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 do. You know the song? Do, do.
Yeah. Doris Day?
Yes. K. Everyone together now. K. Sarah. Everyone together, Phil.
I don't know the song. I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. You talk about Doris Day. I don't know nothing about it.
I ain't gonna sing that.
You're not gonna sing that. Why?
Because I don't...
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Are you afraid that when you go to LAX, they're going to ask you to lift your skirt?
We have to take a break.
Yeah, we have to take a break. Hey, Sarah, Sarah. I'd like to sing that. Do you have... Get Ben Wadsworth. He's my accompanist on the phone. Can you do that, Phil?
I don't know his number.
I can give you his number. Oh, get a load of you. I don't know his number. I've got his number. All right.
All right, so you want to sing that?
Yes, it's something. It's not like I'm singing Paranoid by Black Sabbath. Get the number.
I got the number right here.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'd almost rather hear you sing Paranoid.
Truth.
Well, I bet you would.
Our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ready?
Yeah.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Margaret Gray with K. Sarah Sarah.
Thank you, Phil, very much. When I was just a little girl, I asked me mother, what shall I be? I'm just playing with it. Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what it said to me. Kesa, don't interrupt me, you got... Turn it down. Turn it down, please. Why are you interrupting me?
I'm sorry, I...
Why are you interrupting me?
You said you asked it.
Did I ask it? God, when did your testicles drop? Can we do it again, please?
Margaret, he's right. You go, I asked my mother, here's what it said to me.
I did not have a very good relationship with my mother. Enough said? Okay.
Well, no, not enough said. In other words, she's an it?
To me. Is it so wrong that I had a very troubled...
No, all right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray, here we go.
When I was just a little girl, I asked it, what will I... Are you... Here we go again.
No, I mean, I just...
I had a bad relationship with my mother.
All right, you had a bad... This is not exactly a great song to sing. All right.
Are you pulling rank, Phil? Are you telling me, let's not do the song because Margaret had a very tragic relationship with her mother? Do you mind if I sing it my way? Do you mind?
No, I don't.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Sure you don't need to call Mr. Hall and get permission? Sure you don't need to go and get permission from the man? Wouldn't want you to freelance, Phil. Wouldn't want you to think for yourself.
All right, sing it.
God. Ben Abernathy, let's hear it again.
There is no Ben Abernathy, okay? We're playing it off of YouTube.
Oh, all right. Wait. What in the name of Jesus on the cross?
I thought you wanted me to go.
Not yet.
Sorry, Miss Gray. I thought that you knew too.
Has he had a CAT scan?
I've got it.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Ooh, yeah. Would you stop the tape, Phil? When I want you to go, I'll point to you.
Well, what are you doing, wiggling the hips and everything?
I'm getting into it. Do you mind? It's a Julie London move. Do you know the name Julie London?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Bud.
Nuh-uh.
I'm sorry?
I don't know who it is.
She. It's a she. Julie London was one of our great torch singers. She was married to Bobby Troup, and they were on the television show something's... I forget what it was. But it was a TV show about...
Yeah, I remember he does in an emergency room.
Yes.
Okay, that... All right. I mean, that...
What do you mean, all right? What does that mean?
It doesn't make any sense to me. She's a singer, and Bobby Troup was a songwriter. And what were they doing?
They were on a TV show about an emergency crew of firemen that would try to put severed heads back on people. What are you asking?
Yeah, I don't get that. Julie London and Bobby Troup, a singer and a songwriter, were on a show about an emergency fire crew. Anyway, sing your song, will you please?
All right, and will you wait for me to cue you?
Yes, I will.
All right, ladies, this is Que Sera Sera, sung by a woman who had a very, very dysfunctional relationship with her mother. Me, Margaret Gray. One, two, yeah.
Will you come on, God?
All right, I'm sorry, here we go. One, two, three, and go. When I was just a little girl, I asked it, what shall I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what it said to me. Hey, Sarah, everyone. Sarah, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. That's my touch. When we'll be. What did they do? They messed it up. Grew up and fell in love with Phil. Stop the music.
Now what?
No, not now what. Where did you get this song?
Off of YouTube.
Well, they butchered it. Plus, I don't like references to my mother, so... All right, let's roll from the top, and...
How long is this going to take?
I want to sing the song. And I'm going to be adding some harmonic touches, if you don't mind, Phil. I know you love to control everybody.
Go ahead.
When I was just a little girl, I asked it, What will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what it said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
Yes.
Be will be. You notice what I'm doing?
Yeah.
When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart what lies ahead. Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what it said. KSF.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What now?
Why'd you call your sweetheart it?
Because I'm married now to another man and I don't want Frank to be jealous.
Oh, I get it.
Can I finish the song?
No, you cannot. We've run out of time.
You're a lion.
I'm a lion what?
I think you're a liar because I know you've got more time.
Well, Margaret, we've heard enough of you with the whole, I want to give my melodic touch. I don't think it works. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mr. John Hammond, appraiser of talent for Columbia Records and the discoverer of Bob Dylan and just all that and a bag of pork rinds. You're just so talented. Where do you get off? All of a sudden, you're Mr. Producer?
On my show, yes, I am. On my show, yes, I am.
Well, your show, such as it is, could use a little musical entertainment.
Such as it is. Margaret, you were singing that song in an ear-splitting and very uncomfortable manner.
How dare you? I, in my entire life, I've never had anyone speak to me that way. Not the way you're speaking to me right now.
What, in this insulting way?
No, just using your hands a lot. I'd rather you just keep them at your side. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, my hands are at my side, and I'm saying that you were flat.
I know I was flat. I was trying... You're not talking about...
No, I'm not talking about your breasts. I'm saying that you were... Here's what you were doing. You're going, que sera, sera, what will be...
I didn't sound that bad.
No, you ain't sure did, Mrs. Gray.
Yeah, I was out of the room. I was getting filling up the Coke machine, but it sounded that way to me.
You were filling up the what?
I was filling up the Coke machine.
Is that your job?
No, I just like doing it.
I don't make him do anything. Robert is a security guy. He sits in the studio all night long. He ought to be out at the guard shack.
I don't want to be out at the guard shack, man. It's boring out there.
But, Phil, has you... Philip, I'm trying to somehow get you a lawsuit for racial discrimination, and he doesn't...
No, he don't do none of that.
Why don't you quit trying to stir up the crap, okay?
You mean me talking to Robert?
No, you singing.
Give me five.
Yeah. Ow!
Talk to me like that. I have to go to the restroom, okay? And I'm going to change my feminine napkin. And when I come back, I hope you treat me with respect.
Yes, okay. Thank you for whispering that again.
Why don't you grow up? Always getting your jollies.
No, no, no. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. God almighty.
Why'd she whisper like that? Everybody gonna hear her.
Because she's this phony baloney being a lady thing. Is the speaker off in the ladies' can?
No.
Oh, great, so she can hear all of this. Anyway, thank you very much for Que Sera, Sera. What will be. I asked it. Why, if you've got a problem with your mother, and you had a problem with her relating to her, why would you sing a song like that, you know?
Yeah, black girls like to sing that on a candidate's the mom.
I thought you'd never heard that song.
Well, I know it now. Now it reminded me of, like, girls will sing that. That's like a girl, it's a girl song that the mom taught them.
A girl song that the mom taught him. Okay. All right, what else do we have here? Online at philhenryshow.com is what we've got. A backstage pass for you and yours. All you do is go over to philhenryshow.com and you sign up for a backstage pass. We've got a lot of different ways you can do it, a month, 6 months, a year. And you have access to a full over 15 years or over 10 years of audio and a full 45 to 5,000 hour archive of all of our greatest shows. We also have character clips. We also have our video cast archive. We also have our Milwaukee Lion podcast. We also have also very much more. And don't forget to visit our shop, you guys. The Phil Henry Show shop is where you get our Phil Henry Show t-shirt, our ball cap, our shot glasses, our coffee mugs. We have a full set of vintage legacy Phil Henry Show best of CDs. These babies are going and going fast, and when they're gone, they are gone. But we also have downloads, too. The best of Bobby Dooley and the best of Ted Bell. It's there at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Thank you.
When I was just a little girl.
God. God.
Oh, you love it. You love it.
Phil Hendry.
Hold on. Phil Hendry Show. So what do we got here, Margaret? Welcome back, folks, to the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Frank. Frank is on the line. I'm talking to my Frank. Darling, if you sent the MP3, he did. And you have that, bud?
Yeah, I got an MP3 out of the group Frank's Way.
Yes, this is Frank's Way. This is Frank's band. You can call it a garage band if you want. But Frank and a couple of the guys from the law office, as well as a couple of young men, I don't want to mention who they are, they're actors, get together and jam, and they do their thing, whatever.
Like a garage band?
Well, it's not really a garage, because they have a studio in, I think they have a studio over in Beverly Hills, but they did record a karaoke for me. This is Paranoid by Frank's Way, originally done by Black Sabbath, and I want to sing this because it gives a contemporary feel, and I think it gives you an idea that I can do even metal. That's how I think multifaceted I am. This isn't about me. This is simply about the music. I'm Margaret Gray. Bud, go ahead.
Yeah, there's dead air here, though, for the first few seconds.
Oh, for God. Why didn't you cue it up?
Can you cue it up, Bud?
This is my husband's band, Frank's Way, and it's Paranoid. I'll be singing it. Yeah. Finished with my woman, 'cause she couldn't help me with my mind. People think I'm insane because I am frowning all the time. Oh! Oh, I love Frank. This is Frank on guitar. He's doing the Tony Iommi, the Tony Iommi. Here we go. All day long I think of things, but nothing seems to satisfy. Think I'll lose my mind if I don't find something to pacify. We, can you help me occupy my brain? Oh, yeah. Go, Frank.
All right, yeah. This is me on guitar.
It's great, Frank.
Yeah, you better GD believe it's great.
Oh, God, I love this. Wee! Wee! I need someone to show me the things in life that I can't find. I can't see the things that make true happiness. I must be blind. Ah!
Yeah! All right. This is Fuzzy Brown on Brown on the Brown.
On the drums?
Yeah, on the drums.
Fuzzy Brown.
No, but listen to Frank. Oh God, yes, listen to Frank shred.
We shred.
Do now here we go. One, two, Frank. Two, three, and one, two, one, two, one, two, three, four, and two, three, four, and make a joke and I will sigh and you will laugh and I will cry. Boo-hoo! Happiness I cannot feel and love to me is so unreal. Yeah! Wee!
Yeah, go, go, go.
And so as you hear these words telling you now of my state, I tell you to enjoy life. I wish I could, but it's too late. Oh, it's too late for me.
Yeah, she's dead. She's all messed up, man.
Yes, they're dead. They're all messed up. Doo-doo-doo. Oh, God, that was absolute Frank. Where's Frank?
He's over on the... Hold on for a minute.
Yeah, get... But...
That is exactly what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. And I have been saying this. I've been preaching it. I have said for the... Frank, do I... Have I... Did I... When do I... When do I say that?
You
Well, yesterday morning, I remember you said that Black Sabbath is and always will be the embodiment. There, after Black Sabbath, there's nothing. You can't do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I said. After Black Sabbath, there's no point in going on. You know?
Well, okay.
Oh, here we go. Always you've got to find something wrong with that.
Well, Phil, this is Frank. Phil, we're old people. I agree. But I want to just say one thing, young man. When you listen to Ozzy, she is the epitome of everything.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Frank.
Well...
Frank, darling, I'll see you at home, honey. Just...
Yeah, but I wanted to say it.
No, it's all right. I'll see you at home, darling.
Okay.
You know...
Well, Phil, he has gender confusion. Why can't you just go with it?
But my audience is confused. When I listen to Ozzy, she's got the greatest voice. It just... So anyway, as you were saying...
Yes, and I don't want to argue about it, Phil. There are certain things of which I am expert. And in this area, I am an absolute expert. And as far as Black Sabbath goes, when you play Sabbath, there's nothing else to play. And I don't know how many parties I've been at, and someone, and usually there's a young person at the party, let's put on some Sabbath, and I'll say, all right. But after you've played that, I don't want to hear any more music. There is no other music. And naturally someone will go, ooh, how about AC/DC? And I'll say, and it really does anger me, I'll say to them, and it's generally a girl, she'll, ooh, and I'll say, listen, you hanky trollop, you hanky, foul-smelling trollop. Did you hear what I just said?
And what happens after you call her a hanky, foul-smelling trollop?
What, is something supposed to happen? I don't understand.
Well, is she going to get angry?
Well, of course she gets angry, but what is she going to do? I'll tell you what she does. She slinks away in her cheap little cocktail dress, goes off into the darkness. I can see her peering at me through the dark, her little eyes lighting up. That's what they do.
God, Mark, you must have some... A lot of female friends.
I don't care if I have female friends. I've always gotten along better with men. Always.
All right. Well, let's go to some phones. We got a couple of minutes here on the Phil Hendry Show before we break again. Austin, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Phil, I'm driving on the 51 right now. I'm doing the overland route right now, and I just wanted to let you know that I have, through the help of the California Highway Patrol and the Automobile Club, we were able to get 16 wheels. Out of a frontage ditch off of the 51 here. I'm on my way to El Mongo tonight. And thank you very much, CHP, and thank you very much, Automobile Club. But I will say to you that what you put me through, and I think what you put a lot of listeners through, was unnecessary. It could have cost me my life. And I know I speak for a lot of people.
What are you talking about?
I'm speaking for a lot of people when I say... that for your greater glory and the glory of your radio show, you could have killed a lot of people tonight.
And what are you talking about, sir?
I'm talking about that, what you just had on your radio station that apparently was a woman singing.
Well, that was...
Excuse me, sir, this is Margaret Gray. I was the one that was singing.
You're the one I want to talk... Were you the one that was just singing?
Yes, I was the one that was just singing. What are you saying?
I'm saying, ma'am, that when you came on my radio... And you started taking a song that is very much respected and loved by a great many people in my generation, and you turned it into a dog whistle. You turned it...
What does that mean, a dog whistle? I want you to be specific.
I mean that you could not listen to it without trying to pull your truck into a ditch and end your suffering. That's what happened to me. I've been told now by the ambulance driver, the people came and treated me.
No, I want to say something here, Phil.
Well, hold on, let the man finish.
No, I want to... You are an absolute ass and a half for insulting me like that.
Well, lady, let me tell you what the doctor said. He said to me that I need a psychiatric evaluation. I'm a Gulf War veteran, and I've already dealt with not Agent Orange, but the Gulf War sickness... And I've dealt a lot, and I was infantry, United States Army, and I've dealt with a lot psychologically. They told me I got to go back to the VA and get reevaluated because I pulled my wheel to the right Because when I heard it, I said, God, it's got to end now. It's got to end now. We're a Revolutionary Guard. And I know there's two units of Revolutionary Guard. Got to end now. This has kept going over and over. And
Wait. You were in your truck and you had a Gulf War flashback?
Not a flashback, no.
I think this is absolutely... You are absolutely absurd.
No, ma'am, I'm not absurd. You want to talk to the ambulance? You want to talk to the doctor that was in there, the medical personnel that was in the ambulance? Because I can give you the hospital. I was at El Mongo, and I was at the receiving room at El Mongo Central. Okay?
I don't know what El Mongo. What is that?
Is some trucker, is that 51, the trucker out over the grapevine?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. And when I heard her singing that song, I had to pull the wheel extreme right.
What does that mean, please?
It means there was a ditch, a cement culvert, between the freeway and the frontage road. I needed my truck to go into that jackknife, and I needed it to explode. I definitely needed it. I know that much.
You were trying to commit suicide.
No, sir. No, I was not trying to commit suicide.
Then why are you pulling your truck purposefully into a cement culvert, needing it, as you say, to explode?
I needed the pain to end. I needed the pain to end.
Well, what was the whole Revolutionary Guard thing?
This man is claiming to be a Gulf War veteran with some... I think you are faking it.
All right, I'm faking it. Whatever you want to say, ma'am. All I know is I needed the agony, and I can tell you, I was on a two-man sniper team, and I know that we had a sizable force that was coming... our way, and we had to basically drop two Iraqi snipers themselves, and we had to clear out of the area before this larger force came. All I could think of was clearing the area. Clear the area, Austin. Clear the area. That's what I was thinking.
Well, you know what, sir? Your whole phone call is coming off like some kind of a joke. I have to be honest with you. Okay?
That's what I think.
And
well, all right. I apologize, sir.
It's coming off like a joke. And
I apologize. I'm giving it to you straight. If you want to call, you can talk to Dr. Raphael was his name. He was with the ambulance crew. They told me to go to the VA down near the federal building, which is Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, on the west side of Los Angeles. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. So you can say what you want, sir.
And you had you got it for psychiatric evaluation.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think he's lying.
Okay, and that's because you tried to...
I tried to have the singing end.
Okay, why not turn the radio off?
That is part of post-traumatic stress syndrome, okay? So you don't know about post-traumatic stress syndrome like I do and like a lot of veterans do.
You said you're the veteran of what? Of the Vietnam...
Of the Gulf War.
Of the Gulf War?
Yeah.
Not Iraq, not Afghanistan, not Vietnam, of the Gulf War, the one that lasted 6 weeks?
Lady?
All right, we're not going to have that, Margaret.
Lady, you don't know.
We're not going to have that, okay?
I'm sorry, I just...
You're sorry what?
I don't know what kind of stress...
Lady, you have no idea the kind of stress that was packed into those 6 weeks, so don't you tell me, okay? You just tried to kill me, all right?
I did not try to kill you.
You just tried to kill me when you were singing la 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 la, and I still remember you go 1-2, 1-2, and all I could think of was if I can get it to the ditch and I can get the gas tank to ignite, then things will start to happen that are good. Can you imagine that?
That is a little disturbed.
A little, and you tell me I'm faking it?
All right. Hold on, I have to take a break here.
Well, sir...
Hold on, I have to take a break here. We'll be right back.
And you're buying that?
Yes, I'm buying it now. You know, Margaret, you're just not the best singer in the world. I'm sorry.
You are... I think you're paid to... I don't know what your problem is, but you don't know what you're talking about. World-renowned music critics have raved about my singing.
Okay, the Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
How do you like that?
Phil Hendry Show.
It's very, very unladylike.
Oh, well, I did it.
Yeah.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
I love to sing. I live to sing.
I know you sing, and we enjoy hearing you sing. Sometimes the songs, you know.
Well, what's wrong with the songs? The song selection?
Well, I'm just, welcome back, folks, to the Phil Hendry Show here, and I want to thank Jay Santos for being with us tonight. It was another one of those fractured nights with Jay Santos. We had, of course, Margaret Gray, and Frank was with us there. That's Frank playing guitar, huh?
Oh, yeah, Frank, and you have to understand, Phil, it's been a long time. It's over 40 years since Black Sabbath. You know that I sang back up on Blue Oyster Cult?
On Mirrors?
Yes, on Mirrors and a couple of other things. You know that.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Yeah, well, what?
Well, that's what you claim.
So...
All right, Margaret, but I haven't had anybody been able to verify that. You said you sang with Genya Ravon?
I sang with Ellen Foley and Genya Ravon, yes. I know both of them. Darling girls, wonderful girls. On that session. Yes, I did.
All right. I believe you. It's funny. So that's why your affinity for Sabbath?
Well, I love Sabbath. I mean, that's just always... And Ozzy is he's a precious man. He's just wonderful. Very, very wonderful. A good storyteller. A wonderful joke teller. He's wonderful at table tennis. You know, there's so many things when you thought...
Oh, hold on for a minute. He's wonderful at table tennis.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting thing to say. I would never think that Ozzy Osbourne...
Oh, I see. Because he's slow. So you're another one that thinks Ozzy's brain... You think he ought to have his brain put into a canister somewhere and soaked in something to clear it up? Is that it?
No, but when you see him on that... When you used to see him on that show...
Well, he's a very methodical man.
Methodical? It would sound to me like he... Remember how he used to walk around like he had a physical problem? He's still like this, and he's still...
Well, that doesn't mean anything. It means he's being very deliberate. He's being very methodical.
He's a great table tennis player.
Great table tennis. Hacky sack.
Wait a second. What do you mean, hacky sack?
I'm... Look at me like that. He's a great hacky sack player.
Will you kick the bag with your feet?
Yes, he's one of the best I've ever seen.
Man, that dog...
Well, what are you mumbling about, bud?
Well, that's got me... Took me for a ride, man. I never think of Babby Savage... I mean, what's the guy? Babby Osborne.
His name's Ozzy Osbourne, man. What's your problem?
I know, but guess we confused. I see Babby Osborne.
His name's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, but I got some of the same brain trouble.
Yeah, Bud's got some of the same brain misfunction that Ozzy's got.
What brain misfunction does Ozzy have, other than the fact that he talks like this, really slow? He's a wonderful man. Hacky sack, table tennis. My God, Phil, it's amazing what he can do. And he's also wonderful at laser tag. Remember when we used to play laser tag with the kids? What are you laughing at?
You gotta be kidding me, the Babby.
Bud, what's with you, man? Babby.
They keep saying every time I say Ozzy Osbourne, I want to say Babby Sabbath.
Babby Sabbath, huh? That's not his name. His name's Ozzy Osbourne.
No kidding. Duh, I know that.
Well, then why do you say Babby Sabbath?
That's the name that I was originally learned to be, that they told me would be the name of what he is.
Oh, okay.
You know what, man? I think you're getting tired. Why don't you go ahead and take a break, okay?
No, I always stay to the end of the show. You going to do Highway to Hell, or are we going to be spared that?
You know something, I'm going to love the day when Phil isn't watching, and I go ahead and shoot that right hand, you know?
Well, I will be watching.
I am going to close out with Highway to Hell.
Will you come on, Margaret?
I'm closing out with Highway to Hell. Thank you very much.
Well, God, that's killing my ears, man!
Shut up.
Thanks a lot, folks. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret, she's... See you on PhilHendryShow.com. We'll see you on Monday, actually, in the Lions game.
Living easy, living free. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Ooh, asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason. Be there too. gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues. Playing in a rockin' band. I'm on my way to the promised land.